This is The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick, and we begin this hour with a story of housing in America. About 4 million Americans have some kind of housing assistance, either through Section 8 vouchers or another program.
I got it when we moved to Los Angeles. It was only me and my first daughter, which is the 14-year-old, and I wanted something better for us.
That's Cherie Barnes, a mother of three who qualified for a housing voucher years ago.
And once we moved there, we ran out of money, so we ended up having to live in a shelter. We stayed in Compton, and it was really bad over there, so we ended up moving on Western Avenue in a church shelter, and I got my voucher there.
Long waiting lists and limited money usually mean that the only homes families can afford with the voucher are in poor neighborhoods, and that can make it nearly impossible to move up and out of poverty. When Cherie got her housing voucher, she moved her family back home to Texas.
We were staying in Garland. It's a lot of people that steal. And that area is really a bad area. It's not like really, really bad, but it's bad enough for them to lock up fingernail polish and 99-cent headphones.
Well, here's where the story takes a turn for Cherie and a lot of families like her. Last week, a federal judge ruled to enact an Obama-era rule. It allows people like Cherie to use their vouchers in more affluent areas. The Trump administration tried to delay this rule, but the court pushed it forward. And so now, with last week's decision, up to 200,000 families in 22 metro areas across America could have the chance to move to a better neighborhood. Susan Popkin is a senior fellow at the Urban Institute in Washington, D.C. She's been studying affordable housing for three decades, and she says HUD's housing voucher program has a long history of creating segregated communities.
People can use a voucher to rent a regular apartment in the private market. HUD sets standards that are supposed to reflect local standards for a fair market rent, and that generally has the effect of limiting people to renting in places that are lower income, more affordable, where landlords are happy to take vouchers. So the purpose of these particular ruling is that instead of making a region-wide designation of what's a fair market rent, these housing authorities are supposed to be able to make designation by small areas, and that means by zip code. So they could allow someone to use a voucher in a higher income area and they can pay more. It basically gives the people who have those vouchers more buying power in better neighborhoods.
So if you make the determination essentially neighborhood, by zip code, instead of across the entire metropolitan area, it can drive up the definition of a fair market rate, which means you could qualify to use your voucher in more neighborhoods.
That's right. The purpose of this ruling is to give people with vouchers access to better neighborhoods that will offer better opportunities for them and their kids. It's also supposed to be addressing the historic effect of the voucher program, which has been reinforcing patterns of racial and economic segregation. The way that the fair market rents are calculated, it means that the easiest place for someone with a voucher to find a place to live is going to be a low-income neighborhood, probably one that's racially and economically segregated. And so the effect has been to concentrate people with vouchers in these neighborhoods. It just replicates the existing patterns of segregation.
Well, the Trump administration and the Housing and Urban Development Department under Secretary Ben Carson, as we said, tried to delay this rule. Why did they want to delay it, and what did the judge say in this case?
I don't know why they wanted to delay it. They said they needed more time to study the impact. But the judge said that they had to allow the ruling to proceed. This has been studied for a long time. There actually was a research project that studied five housing agencies that had this authority. This ruling expands that authority. It's only to 22 housing agencies around the country, so agencies that have more expensive rental markets. And the way that the coverage has been portrayed this, I think, is having more effect than I think it actually will. It says that the 200,000 voucher holders are now going to have this opportunity. I believe that's how many voucher holders would be covered by these 22 housing agencies around the country. But they're not all going to be able to take advantage of this opportunity. Really, it's going to be limited to a small number who want to make these moves to different kinds of neighborhoods. And frankly, the housing authorities are going to have to have the vouchers to offer them, which is a real challenge in a lot of these hot rental markets, is there's a big shortage of voucher assistance.
So we're talking about 22 housing authorities, places like Honolulu, Charlotte, North Carolina, and many other places as well. Susan, you say this may have a limited impact, but describe a little bit more for families that do take advantage of the new rules, what it might mean in the real world, in a city, let's say like Charlotte, and what kinds of new neighborhoods they would be able to move to where those places may have been off limits before.
Well, they would be able to move possibly to a more expensive area that has a better school for their kids, higher quality school. What most people I've talked to over the years are looking for is a place that's safe, so a place with less violence, less crime, maybe a place with better access to jobs or better transportation, although, you know, that's difficult in a lot of places. And the reason that we think that's so important is there has been research on families through something called the Moving to Opportunity Demonstration, which was a big HUD study that happened about 10 years ago, where families got vouchers they could only use in low poverty areas, and those families were tracked for 10 years, and then more recently tracked again using IRS data by a guy named Raj Chetty out at Stanford University. And we saw evidence that the kids who grew up in these lower poverty areas ended up doing better economically than their parents. So they earned more, they went to school more. We can see it really makes a difference when you have access to that better neighborhood. And that's why advocates have been pushing for this opportunity for folks.
Yeah, so it sounds like for the families who have the vouchers and can move, it can make a big difference. It sounds like there's evidence for that. But these areas of concentrated poverty that are there in the first place, Susan, even if some families with vouchers can move out to a new zip code in 22 metropolitan areas, it doesn't sound like it does a great deal to change the segregation and the concentrated poverty that's already there.
That's right. It's going to be a small number of households who end up moving. And I worry right now, because there have been budget cuts to the voucher program, and we are in the middle of the worst affordable housing crisis in generations, so there's a huge demand for housing assistance. And I think housing authorities are going to be looking to hang on to the money that they have to make it go as far as they can, and that's a disincentive to pushing people to take these more expensive vouchers.
Can you talk a little bit more about what's happening with these booming rental markets in some of these cities? We've talked about it on the show many times, especially on the West Coast, how booming economies, developing downtowns are driving up rents, driving people onto the streets who can't afford those rents. In the terms of Section 8 housing, we're not necessarily talking about people on the streets, but we're talking about much the same phenomenon.
We are. We have a terrible affordable housing crisis. It's nationwide. It's not just on the West Coast. It is even in small cities like Buffalo, New York, where there have been new companies that have come in. It is putting tremendous pressure on lower-income households. We're seeing more people with very large rent burdens who are paying more than what we consider reasonable for affordability. And we are seeing people competing for the cheaper rentals and ending up in worse and worse conditions. And that is something that I think is worth worrying about. It's partly being driven by the fact that we haven't been building a lot of affordable housing. All the incentives have been built to build high-end housing. We haven't been building a lot of apartments. We've been building a lot of single-family homes. And we've had a lot of higher-income people move into the rental market because of the foreclosure crisis. And they can afford pay more rent, frankly. So there are a lot of factors that have been driving this crisis. We do not have a good plan for dealing with it. And right now, the situation we are in is that only one in five people who are eligible for housing assistance who have those big rent burdens are getting it.
Susan Popkin is a senior fellow at the Urban Institute in Washington, D.C. Susan, thank you.
Thank you.
So let's go back to Cherie Barnes now, mother of three, two girls, ages 14 and 8, 1 6-year-old boy. Today, Cherie lives about 40 minutes outside of Dallas, Texas. Now, Dallas is not on that list of 22 communities included in the new rule that we've been talking about, but she's already benefited from essentially an identical change at the local level in Dallas. That calculates voucher amounts by zip code rather than by the entire metro area, and that means more chances to move into more affluent zip codes with the voucher money to do it and the chance to move to a better neighborhood. When a new apartment became available, Cherie Barnes packed up her family and moved from Garland, Texas to Roy City.
We just moved to Roy City in October, so it's been awesome there. Our neighborhood is very quiet and houses, it's mostly houses around us. In our area, we're the only apartment complex. This is actually a three-bedroom, our first time having a three-bedroom, and it has the washer and dryer, exercising room. Everything you can pray for.
So it sounds like you're living in a nice, quiet neighborhood, but where did you come from? I'm interested in sort of how things are different now from the way they were before October when you and the kids moved to Roy City.
We were staying in Garland, and it's a big difference. I would put it like this. We are happier to go to the grocery store now. I take the drive just to go to the grocery store versus where I used to stay at. We're rather fast. And they check your receipt at the door, so they keep watch over every person that come in the store. It makes a big difference.
Mm. So going shopping in Roy City is definitely a better experience. Does it feel better walking down the street where you live now? What does it feel like?
It feels a lot better. We feel safer. We don't have to worry about anybody staring at us or looking at us crazy. We don't have to worry about dogs running up to us, growling. We can leave our car door unlocked. We left our patio door unlocked, and it was sort of kind of open on an accident, and we didn't have to worry about anyone coming in versus Garland. People used to push down my window. It makes a big difference for us.
What does your 14-year-old say about the difference in lifestyle?
She's happy. She's very happy because she picked up a lot of bad habits from that area. So with clothes, it plays a big, big factor. She got so used to people saying that her outfits was really cute versus now everybody's just focused on learning. It's kind of boring to her now, but now she can focus completely on, you know, her education and not feel like she had to go to school for her outfits or her shoes. And her friends are more focused versus Garland. She was kind of slipping up because when she came to the school, she was making all A's and then she started failing science. So recently she just got back on track. So she got a certificate for, you know, her grade.
Oh, she got an award for her grades.
Yes.
So that kind of thing, Sheree, you know, you made this move, picked up your family, moved to a new neighborhood. I know it feels better and the grocery store is better, but I bet probably nothing's made you feel better than that certificate for good grades that she brought home. I mean, that's got to make all the difference.
When she gave it to me, it made me really feel great. Like, thank you, Jesus, that we're getting somewhere. I always try to make my kids feel like they are somebody. It doesn't matter on the circumstances. What matters is them growing to be the person that God called them to be, and that education really matters.
You must be a lot less stressed than you were before, I would guess. Like, maybe you breathe easier.
For the longest, I used to cry every night about moving to a better place, and it paid off. I mean, crying and praying and being consistent and believing God. When I say that I'm not stressed and I don't have to worry about anything, it made me feel so great. Like, I thank God every day. I really do, because we don't have to worry about that part of life. I finally found a place where I can have everything I ever wanted. I hang my pictures up. We kept our stuff in boxes for the longest. When you live in a not-so-good neighborhood, it really makes you feel... It kind of make you feel like the world have caving in on you, make you feel lost. And some people turn to drugs, some people turn to bad men, and they just make bad choices if they don't have anybody to support them. But since I seen my mom struggle so much and the stuff that she did made me not choose that route, so instead of going out and drugs and stuff, I love on my kids and let them know that things will be fine if you keep believing in yourself.
I bet it's a good feeling to know that you've actually done something to really give them a better life. I mean, it's not just talk, is it? You've got a better neighborhood, a better school, and a better place to live.
And this is actually our first new place. We never had a new place before, ever.
Well, it sounds like it feels good.
Yes, it does. It's great.
And I'm real glad to hear it. Sheree, it means a lot to me that you took the time to come and talk to us and to talk to us about all these personal parts of your life, because it helps us know what you've been going through and how good things are now. I'm really happy for you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thanks so much for taking the time. That's Sheree Barnes, mother of three, in her new apartment in Roy City, Texas.